Welcome to the Kingdom Life podcast, where we equip ourselves with godly wisdom so that we can go into the world as kings and priests, manifesting all that the kingdom of God is.
Okay, God bless you, and let's get into the word. So, first three verses of the Bible reads as follows. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so we've already started with that, and there is this thing called the law of first mention. And the first thing that we see in those verses is that God is triune, God is Trinity, God is three in one. That means unity in action. Everything he creates, there is three, the element of three, the composition of three in everything he created. And we've done that, and I don't want to repeat that. And the second thing we know from the scripture is the law of faith. And because the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we know by faith that the world was created out of nothing. God spoke things into existence. And that's how things started to come into existence. And so then the third thing that we see that's mentioned in the first page of the Bible, in the first chapter of the Bible, is the Spirit of God. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so So again, it's the law of first mention. He's mentioned for the first time in the Bible in the first three verses. That means it is absolutely essential for us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in the earth, in our lives, and in our future. And one of the things, as I looked at this, one of the things I found is that the role of the Holy Spirit is very much involved in the restoration of oneness, the restoration of unity. And because it starts off God being three in one, and we see then God introduces now the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is absolutely critical to bring back oneness. Because when man fell, he fell from oneness. He lost that ability to act as a whole being. So, but throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had some roles to play, but it was not really, really extremely active. And the reason for that, I think, and I think I'm right, is because God had to bring back the Holy Spirit back inside us, for us to experience the restoration of oneness. And for that to happen, Calvary had to take place. Jesus had to go on the cross and die, and to make the sacrifice for our sins become that much more real. And when that sacrifice took place, then the way for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside us has been sorted. But in the Old Testament, we know that the Holy Spirit was the third person in the Godhead. We know that he is God. We know that he is eternal. We know that he is called holy. That's his name, because he brings to us that critical element of holiness, which is part of character, which the other word in the 21st century for holiness is integrity. Okay, it's almost the same word, integrity. It's about, you know, doing what you think and following up on what you say. So basically, that's what integrity is. And then we know that the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, he was all present. He's present everywhere. In the book of Psalms 139, it reads, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? So the Holy Spirit, he's the presence of God and the Spirit of God. And the writer says, if I ascend into the heaven, the Holy Spirit is there. If I make my bed in hell, He's also there. So he's all present. He's present everywhere. The other thing that we know in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit is that he is the one who was responsible for most of the prophecies. Because the Bible says this in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men, they spake as they were moved, as they were inspired, as they were stirred up by the Holy Ghost. And so most of the Old Testament prophecy came as a result of the Holy Spirit doing something in the life of human beings, in their mind and in their spirit, and stirring them up to say things. And that's how basically the entire Old Testament came into being. So basically he is the writer of the Old Testament. Then we also know that the Holy Spirit, he's one that contends with people. He kind of struggles with people. He kind of pleads with people to live right. How do we know that? We know that from the book of Genesis chapter 6. It says this, and it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. My spirit shall not always contend or fight or struggle or plead or put up with men. And God says, I'm going to shorten your life. And God, because prior to that, people lived for a very long time. And God says, I'm going to shorten it to 100, what it says here. And his days shall be 120. And then further down, you'll find that man still didn't listen, and God brought it down to 70. So the Holy Spirit had some vital roles to play in the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, we see that his role is really, really magnified. And we need to understand that, because it is absolutely essential for us to understand that if you really want to be progressive, successful, and advancing in your life. And so if you look at the first three verses of the Bible, it's that unity, it's faith, and the Holy Spirit actively involved in the areas of your life, in the areas of oneness, that's unity, and in the area of faith. Because one thing that we know from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is the Holy Spirit was hovering. And the Holy Spirit nothing happened until the word was spoken, until faith was released. And so, in your life, when there's chaos, because remember, the earth was void, empty, it was formless, it was shapeless, it was dark. So if in your life there is chaos and there is disorder and there is confusion and there's no peace and there's no happiness and it's in a turmoil, the Holy Spirit is there, but he will not do anything until you what? You speak. That's why your confession is so important. That's why you've got to pray. Prayer, see, God knows what you need before you ask him. But why do you pray? It's because unless you say something, the Holy Spirit's got nothing to work on. Nothing. And so your life, the status quo, will remain the same until you speak. And speaking means you've got to pray that thing through, and you've got to confess that thing through, you've got to declare that thing, you've got to decree that thing, or else things will not change in your life. And so if you don't change your words, nothing will change in your life. That's where change starts. Changing how you think and changing what you speak, how you speak. So then in Genesis, then let's deal with this issue of the oneness that we're talking about, because it's just part of the same thing. You can't separate them. So let's deal with that issue. And so that we can get a little bit more understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, God, that is plural, right? That's the state of being three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That word God there, Elohim, means plural, okay? Or his plural. So, and God said, that means, referring to all three of them, said, that is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So therefore, if God, if man was made in the image and likeness of God, and if God is one in unity, therefore man is made in the image of oneness. You got to operate as one. Unity starts inside you. And I'm going to show you this now, how it works. And the second thing that God said, he is going to create man in his likeness. What's the word? Qualities. And again, it's the qualities of oneness, of unity, that God is driving. And so, again, if you look at scripture, the scripture says this in the book of 1 John 5:7. It says, there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Two shall be one flesh. That same principle. Okay? There's another scripture. So we know they're three, but they operate in such unity that it's very difficult to put them apart. They one in function, they one in thought, they one in vision, they one in unity, they one in everything. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says this, Yeho Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then in Jesus comes on the scene in the book of Mark 12:29, Jesus says this, the first commandment of all is this, Yeho Israel, the Lord our God is one. So they are three, but yet they operate in one. So God is in the state of three, yet he is one. So is man.
Thank you for joining us as we equipped, prepared, and edified ourselves for the week ahead. As you go into the world, may the Lord bless you, protect you, look on you with favor, and keep you. Until next time, God bless.